Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Coming up on DTNS, Amazon's Project Luna faces its first real test, a $700 device to keep mosquitoes away, and paper, plastic, just walk out, or drone. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, March the 1st. Happy St. David's Day 2022. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also from Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm Roger Chang, the show. Producer.
There's a longer version of this show containing curry called Good Day Internet. You can get that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/DTNS.
Speaking of Patreon, big thanks to our top patrons, including Philip Less, Daniel Dorado, and John Atwood.
Let us begin with a few tech things you should know.
FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel announced at Mobile World Congress that the U.S. will hold a 5G auction for 2.5 gigahertz mid-band spectrum in July for better coverage over long distances and also the better ability to carry lots of data. T-Mobile is reportedly very interested as it already uses a lot of the 2.5 gigahertz spectrum and could use this to expand its 5G service. Rosenworcel is looking ahead to a 6G rollout, not going to happen for a few years, but still, we're looking at that, which she says should be handled differently than how 5G was handled.
All right, just marking 6G off of my bingo card for 2022. Thank you. NVIDIA announced, quote, "We are aware that the threat actor took employee credentials and some NVIDIA proprietary information from our systems and has begun leaking it online." So, yes, somebody did get in their systems and is leaking some of that data. The attackers told NVIDIA to pay a ransom or they will leak all the data publicly. It's not actually ransomware. They just took data and are saying, pay us or we'll leak it. NVIDIA says it became aware of the attack on February 23rd and has no evidence that this is related in any way to the war in Ukraine.
Waymo received a permit from the California Public Utilities Commission to let it charge for ride-hailing trips in its autonomous vehicles in San Francisco. The California Department of Motor Vehicles granted Waymo a similar permit last September. This permit requires human safety operators on board.
Big thanks to the folks on our subreddit for this one. The Daily Swig's Emma Wolcott reports that Oklahoma City-based DNA Solutions determined that an unauthorized third party accessed their network and may have compromised certain sensitive information from sexual assault kits sent to them for forensic testing. That breach took place November 18th, 2021, and accessed medical information, but not Social Security driver's license or financial information. The Oklahoma City Police Department was among DNA Solutions' clients in the past, but no longer has a contract with the company.
Several platforms announced new policies regarding Russia-based content. YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok will block access to RT and Sputnik in Europe, and Meta has stopped recommending Russian government-affiliated media worldwide on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is also offering encrypted DMs in Ukraine and Russia. Netflix said it will not comply with a December law requiring it to carry 12 local TV channels in Russia. Reddit limited the subreddits that r/Russia and r/Russia politics from showing up in search, recommendations, or feeds unless specifically included by the user. In addition to content blocking, Binance and Coinbase will block accounts and transactions involving sanctioned individuals, but will not block entire countries. Snapchat stopped all ad sales to Russian and Belarusian companies, and Apple has paused sales of its products and pulled some Russian news apps from the App Store outside of Russia.
That was just going to keep getting longer, it feels like. All right, let's shift our attention to video games. Lamar, what do we got?
Yeah, so Amazon opened up its Luna game streaming service to all U.S. users Tuesday. To use Luna, you pay a monthly fee for channels of games. So there's a Luna Plus channel for $5.99 a month, through though that rises to $9.99 a month starting April 1st, and a family channel for $2.99 a month that goes to $5.99 a month on April 1st as well. So if you want to subscribe by March 31st, you'll get to keep the lower price as long as you keep your subscriptions active. There's also an Ubisoft channel, or Ubisoft, for $17.99 a month. Ouch. So Luna just added three new channels along. So we have the Prime Gaming channel. That is going to offer Amazon Prime members a free play of a rotating selection of games. Now, for $4.99 a month, you can get the Retro channel with games like the Castlevania Anniversary Collection. Also $4.99 a month is the Jackbox Games channel, which added a Luna couch so that you can invite friends without having them to subscribe to Luna. That sounds kind of cool. And Amazon also added one-click streaming feature to go live from Luna on Twitch. It streams your game from a one-camera overlay. You can also use your phone as the camera as if you're playing on a Fire TV. Or if you're playing on Fire TV, excuse me. And finally, Amazon now supports using your phone as a controller on the Fire TV as well. Otherwise, you'll need to use some kind of controller.
So here we go. The big test for Luna, it's certainly not the first game streaming service. Obviously, we have GeForce Now out there. There's kind of Stadia in some form or
Stadia-ish.
Yeah, Stadia-ish. And then there's things like Shadow that just recently relaunched. But this kind of feels like the most collected and biggest name, right? And GeForce Now is very collected and very robust. It just hasn't got as much mind share. I don't know why. It probably should, but it doesn't. Whereas Amazon is Amazon, right? So they're in everybody's face. They can push this out on, they can put it on the box. You know, when you get your sardines delivered, it can say like, you just sign up for Luna right now. So I feel like this is the biggest, best test of video game streaming we've seen. They've got a decent amount of games, certainly not every game you'd want. It's not going to replace your game console yet. But if you wanted to try it and you didn't want to buy a game console and you wanted to play some video games, there's some cool stuff in here. The one thing I'd say that I didn't figure out was how to use it with my Prime subscription. And maybe it's because I'm the secondary account. Maybe I need to log in as my wife, who has the main account. You know, sometimes they limit that on secondary accounts. But it kept trying to make me pay for Luna Plus every time I tried to play one of the free Prime games.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to try the Prime gaming, but I'm really interested. I don't know, Sarah, if you got a chance to see. I'm real interested to see exactly what's in there. What kind of games are in there to play that are worth, you know, Prime? Because, you know, just like with Prime books, there's some good books, but there are other books.
I mean, I don't currently subscribe to any game streaming service. When I first saw the story, I was like, wow, they're really siphoning off certain genres of games, like $5 here, $5 there. Well, on Ubisoft, $18 a month, which is pretty steep. But if you compare this to a video service where maybe you want a couple shows or a certain, library of certain kinds of movies, and you just don't want to pay for, you know, $75 per month for some sort of alternative cable video streaming service, maybe this makes sense. I'm sure there are people out there saying, well, now I have to choose and it's going to add up if I piggyback more than a few of these little bundles on, you know, to my entire experience. But maybe that's what people want. I mean, Not all gamers play all games.
Yeah, I really like the idea of the channels. I haven't examined it, but I have a friend who definitely would try the Retro channel for some of those games. But I love Jackbox games. It's, you know, and if all of the games are, I think there's up to seven now. If all of the games are there and you got an event coming up, $5 to have access to like several of those Jackbox games for everybody, you know, playing your TV is a really compelling offer. So I think these bundles are going to be a win, except for that. Ubisoft one. I'm not sure what they're thinking with a limited amount of games, and Game Pass gives you 100 for $10. So I, you know, but there'll be somebody who will get it, I'm sure.
That's for the Ubisoft fan who's like, oh, I will spend more than $60 a month on an Ubisoft game. All I play is Ubisoft. I don't know how many of those people there are. But if you were to buy even an Ubisoft game once every 2 months, $17.99 would still beat that, right? Because it's still cheaper than buying the actual game itself.
Yeah.
If you are like, this isn't for me, please, you can write in, but that's not that interesting. We hear that. We see that. That's the default operation. If you're the person who's like, no, let me tell you why Luna is perfect for me, that we don't see as much, and that would be very interesting to hear from as well. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. A company called Thermacell has launched a mosquito repellent device called Liv, L-I-V. You might have heard of Thermacell. They make some camping mosquito repellent, but this is for your backyard. It uses metafluthrin, a synthetic molecule modeled after a repellent found naturally in chrysanthemums. For yard protection, you use at least 3 repellers. They come on these little yard stakes. You put them around your yard. Each one has about a 20-foot radius, and each one contains a cartridge with the chemical in it. When you activate them, the chemical is warmed up and creates an odorless, invisible cloud that they say is about 93% effective at keeping mosquitoes from flying into it. Doesn't even kill them, just says they just don't want to be near that cloud. Whole thing is coordinated by a hub, which you have to plug into a power outlet, and then you connect the hub to the repeller units with these lightweight, low voltage cables. You can then control the hub with an app over Wi-Fi, integrate it with Amazon or Google Assistant for voice control, and then turn it on manually from the app or by voice, or schedule it to go on when you need it if you're always out in the backyard at a certain time. Company recommends turning it on about 15 to 30 minutes before you need it, and the cartridges last for about 40 hours of use. So it's not meant to be on all the time, just when you need it. A 3-pack with a hub is meant to cover 945 square feet. That'll cost you $699.
What?
A 4-pack, which covers 1,260 square feet, costs $799, and a 5-pack, which does 1,600 square feet, is $899. Also, after your 40 hours, you're going to have to refill the cartridges. You can get a pack of 6 cartridges for $120.
Oh, man. So first of all, there are areas of the world where mosquitoes are, they're going to carry really life-threatening diseases. This is not something that I think about on a daily basis. However, where I live is also partly an Airbnb, and in the summer, especially around dusk, mosquitoes are a real issue. This would be something that I could see certain folks investing money in, because it keeps people from having to slather stuff on their own person. Sounds like when working properly, 93% of keeping mosquitoes away sounds pretty great, you know, when you're all sitting out on the porch eating your steaks kind of thing. But boy, is this cost prohibitive.
Yeah, I have a different view of this. I think the cost is great. I think the cost is great if it wasn't mosquitoes, but bees.
Why bees? You get chased by bees a lot?
I do. They remember me from my younger days in Chicago. They have followed me here to LA. Yeah.
They say bees, hornets. They say it may work on other small, like gnats and flies, but they've got a submission to be able to say that for real, but they can't guarantee it. So maybe it would work on bees. I don't know.
Yeah. I would pay that to keep all
although
bees.
Although if it's based on a chrysanthemum powder, it might actually attract them.
Honestly, though, for 40 hours of use, you figure, okay, well, if it was a couple hours a day, you know, when mosquitoes are the most annoying, it's going to last, I don't know, a month, but also having to think about it up to a half an hour before you actually need to use it, there's definitely there's some legwork going on here. Even if it works as planned, it's gonna change the way that you hang out outdoors.
Gitpol Zander in our chat room has a personal size thermocell and says that it does give off a smell, they think. But for me, it's a solution for hanging out on the patio and having a cigar with no mosquitoes. So it sounds like it works. It's just a matter of whether it's worth. For me, it's like, we get mosquitoes now in the summer. It's kind of annoying. I spray myself with Off and it's fine. I think I'd prefer not to have to spray myself with Off, but I'm not sure if it's $700 worth of annoyance to spray myself with Off.
I could see $700 if it lasted the season. If you're, you know, like Sarah, you mentioned a month, but like if they were able to extend this where it's like the summer season or the fall season, there's some argument that those refillable cartridges are then worth it for the peace of mind of not of not having that around. But 40 hours can go pretty fast if you, you know, what if you forget that it's on or whatever?
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like based on what Get Pull Xander saying in the chat, that I might just want to buy one of the personal size ones and just set it next to me when I need it. Not set up a whole system for the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like something you'd maybe want to start small. And if you're getting good results, then think about extending it. Especially if, you know, you have a lot of guests.
If you're spending, like our next door neighbors, they always eat out in the backyard during the summer. This might be great for them because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving on to Uber. Uber's main app is getting some new discovery features, not in a separate app, in the main app itself. The company is rolling out a new Explore tab in the app to make things like dinner reservations, booking concert tickets, reading Yelp reviews, and getting photos and directions to feature locations from within that main app. You can pay for things from the Uber wallet and payment profile the same way that you would be you doing to book a ride. And then the app will use prior Uber and Uber Eats history to try to serve up relevant information based on your previous habits and what's popular in your given area. Uber says it's not going to charge restaurants a booking fee for reservations made through Explore, at least not now. But it may add a service or booking fee for some experiences. The company hasn't really elaborated on what that means. So sounds like a little bit in testing mode, might get some money revenue to Uber in the future. The feature is now live in 15 U.S. metro areas, including Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, Memphis, Minneapolis, St. Paul, New Orleans, New Jersey, upstate New York, although not New York City, Orlando, San Antonio, San Francisco, and Seattle, also in Mexico City.
Yeah. So I opened up mine here in Los Angeles, and there's a ton of stuff in here. There's restaurants, there's the Griffith Observatory, there's museums, but none of them let me book a ticket. It's all just booking a ride. So I feel like they've definitely, you know, partnered with Yelp to populate this thing with lots of stuff. And that's a great way to encourage you to be like, oh, what should I do today? Oh, I think I'll go to this escape room and let me book my ride. That's all very convenient. The aspect of this, which is getting the most attention, which is, and I'll be able to buy the ticket to the event through there, doesn't seem to be as widespread. Like they got some work to do there.
Yeah. You know, and like I looked at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood right above the one you mentioned. And I clicked through and they still have the booker right there. But lower down, they have, the WBStudioTour.com. So is that an affiliate link that they get credit for? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, but if you're trying to do like a one-stop shop type of thing, like quick click, I got tickets, then you, because I think you mentioned this pre-show, if I get a ride there to the WB Studio Tour and they say, sorry, we're booked for the day, but that's, you know, that's kind of a wasted trip. But they can tell you, hey, two tickets are available. Do you want to order now? That's an excellent experience. If a little fee to me, if it's reasonable, is kind of worth that impromptu trip that you were taking anyway.
Also, I just find it interesting the selection here, because I'm getting like the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, the Broad, the Huntington, the Skirball Cultural Center, Sun Goddess Ashley. She does tarot readings.
Oh, okay.
But those are all right. Sun Goddess Ashley got some pretty good placement in there. Well done.
Tom, you and I still have to take that TMZ celebrity tour. It just has to happen. That bus goes around.
Can we book, when it's bookable through the Uber Explore tab,
yeah, exactly.
We're totally there.
Yeah. I mean, why do you got to go through TMZ? They've been doing those buses for like 40 years.
It's an experience, right?
Just they got more dirt. They could tell you more things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is smart for Uber because they're making their money off delivering things right now, mostly food, but also they're trying to get convenience store items and all of that. And that's fine. But they do want to get people back into using Uber as transportation again, as people are venturing back out into the world more. And this is a great way to encourage that, to be like, hey, do you want to go to a museum? You want to go to the baseball park? You know, whatever. We can make it easy for you to find the place and get a ride. Well, folks, if you have a thought about something on the show, but you don't know our email address, we're going to fix that right now. Here it is. Listening? feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Just the one dot, actually.
Yeah. Don't do two dots.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Alphabet's Wing announced it has reached a milestone of 200,000 commercial deliveries, mostly in the Australian capital of Canberra. Wing says its unmanned aerial vehicles make one delivery every 25 seconds on average right now. Wing just announced a partnership with the supermarket Coles. Wing already delivers KFC and Rolled and some medical products from a couple of outlets. Many folks think of Amazon when they think of drone deliveries because, man, Amazon did a great job convincing you that Amazon Prime Air would be real someday. It has never launched. In fact, its most recent news I could find was that they laid people off from that department. But Amazon is focusing on driver deliveries. They'll drive your groceries over to you, and they want to make the in-store experience easier. The first Just Walk Out-powered Whole Foods has opened in Glover Park, the Glover Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. It's the first cashierless Whole Foods. Amazon has their Amazon Go stores that are cashierless and an Amazon Fresh store in Seattle that is cashierless. But this is the first Whole Foods. The D.C. Whole Foods is 21,500 square feet. So that's about the size of the Amazon Fresh Just Walk Out store up in Bellevue, Washington. You can use Amazon's palm scanning or a QR code if you want to get in, or you can choose self-service checkout. That is one interesting thing here is they'll still have self-service checkout. You don't have to do Just Walk Out if you don't want to. The second Whole Foods that is going to have cashierless technology will open in Los Angeles later this year. So let's talk about groceries. First of all, Lamar, when this Los Angeles location opens up, will you commit to me that we will go and try it out?
Grocery date.
I will commit 100% to this grocery date. It
fantastic.
Is
happening. Fantastic. So yes. We will report back, folks, once the Los Angeles one opens, what that's about. Yeah. But we got all different kinds of way to get your groceries here. We got drones. You can just walk in and use your palm to scan and then not have to go through a cashier. You can have them delivered to you. What's your pleasure?
I like it all. Oh, go ahead,
Sarah. It's funny. I have a few friends who live in Washington, D.C. I am not personally familiar with the Glover Park neighborhood, but I asked a few folks this morning, hey, you guys know where this Whole Foods is? And everyone went, yeah, we know. And I said, will you go in there and check this out and just let me know how the experience is? And I got one of two responses. First of, what's just walk out? Never heard of this before.
Sure. Okay.
And then other people saying, this has been going on in San Francisco for like 5 years, right? And I said, you're both right.
Not at Whole Foods,
This is a Whole Foods, though.
Right.
And it's an option. It's sort of Amazon saying, this is where we want to go. We need to figure out if our Whole Foods franchise that we bought some years ago, this is, you know, the public is ready for this. Some people will be. But to have it as an option, I think, is really smart, because I think there are plenty of people who don't totally feel comfortable with this yet, or don't really understand why this is convenient, or don't believe that it's all that convenient for them. And this is a very much sort of proof of technology before it starts to open up in other places. The Los Angeles store, I'll be really interested to see, how the uptick is on people saying, yeah, this is totally the future. Because if it does work well, I see this is how grocery stores will all be in 10 years from now.
That's what Amazon hopes. They want to sell everybody that platform, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But if people are like, I'm fine with, I've got a card, tap to pay, or I'm using, maybe Google Pay or Apple Pay, or there are all sorts of other ways that people find shopping and paying for whatever you buy a lot more convenient than it used to be in the past. So I want this to succeed because I think it sounds great. That said, I've never used Just Walk Out technology because it's nowhere near me.
Yeah, it's interesting what you were saying about some people will be interested in this and some not. I guess my question, it might be, one that just can't be answered, is why would anyone be against this? And it's something, a couple of answers could be just comfort level. Some people like just having a cashier do it for them. Some, we have people who will have lines of 10 carts deep on each line, but the self checkout is empty. I've seen that in grocery stores.
I know.
They won't touch it. And so it just makes me wonder, is it just a comfort level, or is the convenience of saying, hey, as you walk in, bam, 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 you can walk right out. And I'm guessing, Tom, you're itching to say privacy as one of the things.
Privacy. Because the thing about self-service checkout, I will find myself sometimes saying, you know what? I just want to go to the cashier because the self-service checkout has its own problems and sometimes it doesn't work. Or, maybe I'm going to buy an alcohol and you can't do that at the self-service checkout. Sure. Whereas Just Walk Out is always going to be easier. There's no like, so the only people that would object to it are people who are like just stuck in their ways. They're like, I don't even want to think about a different thing. You mean I have to get a QR code? Forget it. I don't want to do that. Or privacy. Like you said, it's people who are creeped out by being tracked, even though it's just being tracked around a store. And even though you're always tracked anyway in a store, because there's always employees looking at you to make sure you don't steal stuff. That people are like, I'm not comfortable for whatever reason with cameras following me. I would like to not show up on your cameras. It's like, man, the cameras are there anyway. You might as well use them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, before we move on, I asked a friend who said, I'm uneasy with this. And I said, well, why exactly? Because if you're buying something, the cashier would know that you were buying it eventually. What about this bothers you the most? She said, well, what if I pick up a bunch of stuff, maybe look at nutrition labels and put them back? Aren't they now getting a lot more intel on what I'm interested in general, not necessarily what I'm actually going forward with the purchase of? And I said, okay, that's fair. But, how does this negatively impact your next trip to the store? I'm not sure it does.
Yeah.
But and again, honestly, everybody feels differently about this.
They're getting that info anyway, whether you use Just Walk Out or not. Like, that part's not changing, right? You're in their store, so they're always looking at that kind of stuff. And as long as, here's the key, as long as they're not building a profile on you from that and selling it without your permission. I'm fine if they're like, man, we got a lot of pickups on the mayonnaise today. People are really into mayonnaise. Order more mayonnaise. That's great. As long as it's not, we know that Sarah picked up a lot of mayonnaise, so make sure to push a lot of mayonnaise stuff to her email address. And when she logs into Amazon, suggest she buy lots of mayonnaise. That's where it just gets
annoying. Well, and given history, I think the fear that you will only be targeted as a mayonnaise person in the future is somewhat warranted.
Yeah, right. So if you can convince me that you're not going to try to sell me, Sarah Lane, or Justin Robert Young mayonnaise because he hates mayonnaise, then we're okay. Just make sure.
Listen, I love mayonnaise. There's just only so much I can eat.
Yeah,
same here.
Scooter maker Razor, R-A-Z-O-R, not to be confused with Razor without an O, has experimented with e-scooters in the past, over the past few years, a fair amount of models. But scooter maker Razor has a new model, the Razor Icon. It's an e-scooter modeled after its original Model A that you might kind of think of as younger kids scooting along the sidewalk using. The Icon has a 36-volt lithium-ion battery and a 350-watt motor with a claimed range of 18 miles on a single charge and a top speed of 18 miles per hour, which is pretty fast if you're on a scooter. Comes with an LED headlamp and brake light too, and is launching at Toy Fair in New York City today. Now, if you want to pre-order it, the pre-orders are open now on Kickstarter, of all places, for $550. The eventual price will climb up to $600. So if this is something you really want, you get $50 off. And I'm not personally going to buy one because I've never had a Razor scooter in general, but I can see where the nostalgia plus modern life would make a lot of sense, depending on where you live.
Yeah, man. I'm going to jump on Alta Vista, do a search on where to find this, and tell everybody I can on AIM.
So Tom has made his feelings known. Yeah. Lamar, what about you? Were you a Razor fan at any point? Does the idea of the Model A e-scooter titillate the Razor senses?
Never had the privilege of having a scooter in my youngin days. So no, I don't even use the scooters that are around LA now. I
think of the Razor scooter as .com era people going down 8th Street to the Townsend studio where Townsend offices where ZDTV and Tech TV were. Like I definitely remember seeing people on their Razor scooters when they were new. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It always sort of struck me as like a skateboard, but a little safer.
Mm-hmm.
You can,
I suppose, you got something to hold on.
You have a little bit more control unless you're like a great skateboarder and then go for it. But this is not something that I've ever used. The e-scooter stuff, especially if you live somewhere with maybe not really dramatic hills, but hills that something like this could go up and down, just like an e-bike or, you know, variety of other e-scooters that are on the market. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Not super affordable, but not the most expensive option either.
Yeah. I did want to say real quick, I'm happy to see Toy Fair back.
Oh yeah,
I used to go. I used to go for a couple of years. It's in New York. It's just I'm glad to see you back. That's all.
Paolo DLR said scooters are inherently kickstarted because you need
a kick.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Louis, either one from Montreal, said, I was listening to your vet it or forget it discussion. This was a conversation we had with Justin Robert Young last week on how we read the news and try to vet sources for ourselves. Louis says, my preferred way is to keep up with the news on Google News. My favorite feature is view full coverage. It'll group articles from various news sources about a topic, giving you various viewpoints. It also aggregates relevant tweets on a topic. Not sure how many other people use Google News, but I've been using it as my primary news source since 2013 when Google Reader was discontinued. And I feel like I get a much more balanced story because it will surface sources I may not have implicitly followed, as well as the original source of a story.
Yeah, I use Google News as one of the sources for putting together things for Daily Tech News Show. My only negative on Google News is they sometimes will surface places that I don't know if I should trust this source or not. I've never heard of this place, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because there's new things coming along and you don't want to keep them from coming. But sometimes I drill down and I'm like, no, I should definitely not trust this source, the Google News surface. So you got to be careful. But yeah, I agree with you. It is a good place to expose yourself to things that you might not otherwise see.
Yeah, I am a Google News user for sure.
I am too. On a daily basis. Sometimes it's kind of the same stuff I've seen elsewhere. Sometimes not. It's definitely a good source to have in your mix if you're a news junkie. We wanted to thank a brand new boss that we got since yesterday's show. Mikhail Soder just started backing us on Patreon. Thank you so much, Mikhail.
Indeed. Thank you, Mikhail. Yes, you got it. Your new boss right now, you're going to get a lot of attention for that. See, a lot of applause. Not unwelcome attention, a lot of thankful, like grateful attention. So
standing yeah, O. Standing O. Lamar Wilson, always good to have you back on the show as well. And so glad your power came back on before we started the show. Gotta love tech, right? Let folks know where they can keep up with everything else that you do.
Yeah, if you go to lamarwilson.com, there's all of my links. I do short form vertical content everywhere from unboxings. Did a movie review for the first time yesterday because I saw the Batman early. So I did that under a minute, let you know my experience being on a WB lot for the first time and all kind of things. The unboxings are the best one. Just put one up today, tearing up some Funko. So you could just check me out, lamarwilson.com. It'll take you everywhere.
That's Lamar with two R's. Check him out, everybody. He is prolific on the internet. We are live on this show. We like to think of ourselves as prolific as well. Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC is when we are live. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Back doing it all again tomorrow with Scott Thompson.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.